What is this foolishness?
How many dreams can you shape in a minute, an hour?
The kind of clean you like best.
Lost three of my teeth, too. All right, so you lost. Next time you win.
Steamy, hot, hearty, delicious, invigorating.
Everybody, folks at home, how you doing tonight? Hope you're having a wonderful Saturday. I know we are. I want to wish you, first of all, a happy new year and welcome you to the first Ike Live of 2022. Isn't that amazing? 2022.
Yeah, it's going too quickly, man. Life's passing us by.
It is.
Just passing us by.
Oh my God!
It is passing us by.
Such great energy to start the show off with.
I know. Everybody wants to kill themselves now.
Hey, everyone, climb in the bathtub now.
Cheers to that.
Let it flow.
Let me real quick. Let me tell you about the show tonight. I'm going to intro the room. We got a good one for you tonight. I promise you. If you're watching sports, if Philadelphia Eagles fans are watching right now,
who cares?
Put it on one screen. But watch this. This
are
is
they
a
playing?
Show.
Are the Eagles
They're
playing
tonight instead of Sunday. Yeah. We have a great show. Joining us in our second segment, Matt Airy joining us, BASS Toyota Pro. It's going to be great. First time, Brian DeCarpenter, I believe, if I call click click, we've had Matt on the show. Is that right?
That is correct, Michael.
Very excited to have him here.
Yep.
Also, in the third segment, Dave, you know, we all went to Triton.
Oh, goodness.
We know these guys personally, but we got two really interesting characters, the Belmar boys. Them Belmar boys joining us in the third segment. It's going to be interesting. And also, we have a special new correspondent, Powerbait Paul, joining us in just a little bit. So it's going to be a great show. Did you want me to say something?
I don't know.
Okay. Sitting to my right, went into the room real quick. We got the one and only John McGraw back in the house with us. John, you've been on Ike Live before, but is this your first? This is your first time in the new studio.
In the new studio.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
And on top of that. Happy birthday, John. You had
a birthday
a couple days ago.
Yeah. Half a century old.
That's right. John and Dave are both creeping up on Pete, who's in his at least 60s or 70s.
But for the people watching, this is obviously John, also known as Graw.
Yes.
McGraw.
Yes.
Just because we've referenced John probably 100 times. And people who...
John's got a lot of nicknames. If you go back in the annals of John.
No, I know he's got a nickname, but I'm saying the ones we call him on the show.
Yeah.
That's all. So people now can put a face to the name.
Yeah, fastest man on campus. Gay like that.
Gay like that? No, I like that one. That was
Jay
new. Jay like that?
Jay.
That's what it clearly
called it. Is that what it was?
Good.
Let's go, Brandon.
Sitting to my left, man, I'm almost shocked and awed, but I'm so happy. Dave Brodzik, like two or three shows in a row with
thank
us.
You. Thank
Dave,
you. Thank
glad
you.
To have you here.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
I love it. the other, we got two more in studio, and then we got one via Zoom. In studio with us here, handling IMs and taking care of general business, Jake in the house with us tonight. Jake, how you doing?
Dave, got any new names for Jake tonight?
Any new names for Jake yet?
Either just Jake, Chalk Demon.
Chalk Demon.
Chalk Demon.
I like that one.
What do you think about that?
Write that down, Brian, so we can remember that. Chalk Demon.
That or just Jake?
Just Jake.
Nake, Yake.
Yake, I like
Nake, Yake.
Yakum.
Yakum, I like that one. Yeah. And, of course, producing the show, pushing buttons, making plays, Brian DeCarpenter with us tonight. Brian, I got to tell you this. New camera angle we're using tonight looks good, except for the naked wooden wall behind you. We have to fix that.
Maybe the camera.
I've been saying something about, what, we here 2 years now?
Yeah, we need something on that back wall.
So is it the camera angle that's making his hat brim straight, or is that straight?
No, it's straight. Straight
and narrow. Dude, 1 year ago today.
Yeah.
We had Oliver in studio.
We did.
That was 1 year ago today.
Oliver Knight. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, and
very
I got
cool.
the hat on by accident.
Poor guy was here in his weather when he was here and he couldn't catch a damn bass. I felt bad for him. I felt really bad. Last but not least, joining us via Zoom, the one and only, the Dean of Bastion versus Pete Klusik.
Pete.
How you doing, Pete?
Hey, guys.
How you doing tonight?
Hey, man. It's great. It's great to be here, and it's great to have you in studio, McGraw. I couldn't
really see.
Yeah, I couldn't really see you on my Zoom feed over here, but I'm looking at you on my MacBook, and there you are, man. It's good to have you in studio. I miss you, man.
Oh, I miss you too, man.
All right, Pete, so we've got two of us now. I'm right here in a row. I'm centered by these two guys that are already 50. Any advice? Whoa. Any advice for these guys?
Don't stop moving. that's the best advice, man.
Don't stop moving?
Dave's screwed.
Don't stop moving, man. That's the mistake everybody makes. And my dad, who just turned 83.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Wow.
Is hustling. He walks every single day.
It's awesome.
He drags my mom out, keeps her walking, and that's the key, man. So from here on out, man, you want to live strong till you're 83. Just keep moving.
So like, what does he mean? Like move away from the family? Like what are you talking about?
Keep moving. Move like 2-3 states.
Move to Florida.
Put a tracker in your pocket and just start walking.
Yeah.
Gotta be like Klun. You gotta be fishing tournaments till you're 75.
Jeez.
Just keep going, man. Just keep doing what you love.
Well, that's incredible. I was just gonna say, speaking of Klun, John, you fish as a co-angler.
Yeah.
In your past, and you did. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did you or did you not draw out Rick Klun as your pro twice?
I actually drew out Rick Klun twice in the same month.
Whoa. In the same year?
In the same year, in the same month, right?
Whoa.
I fished the Potomac as a co-angler, got him on the last day.
Yeah.
And then I fished Henderson, Henderson out in Tennessee, right?
Old Hickory,
that's it, I'm sorry.
Old Hickory, yeah.
Old Hickory, and I got him on the first day.
Wow. Interesting dude, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a cool guy. He's like, I don't really talk that much, right? I'm going to tell you, I got two casts. I expect you to be in the bottom of the boat, right? Two casts. And I, down in the bottom, but
wow.
It was all business.
Yeah, a lot of covering water, constant movement.
Yeah, like in Old Hickory, he actually came in second in that tournament, and he was throwing, he was throwing a crankbait, and he was doing stuff about going up the brush piles, and it was all about hitting it at different angles.
Yeah.
He would come in nose into a brush pile, hit it in like five different angles.
Yeah.
And then go to the next one, right? Hit it with five different angles.
Wow.
And he was catching fours. Yeah. You know, he was coming with 18, 19.
Yeah, on that place, that's really good. Yeah. I gotta tell you, Brian, we've been super fortunate. We talked about this a couple shows ago, but dude, we've had guests on this show that are like the guys that are the heroes of the sport. Like we had Roland and Jimmy and Zell Roland. I mean, all these guys, Denny Brower. We've had so many amazing historical anglers on the show. We have to get Klun.
I know.
That is so much a priority.
We've had
for 2022.
But we need them like in studio.
In studio would be so much better.
For real.
Yeah.
For some reason, I feel like that one will be on a Wednesday. I don't know. Just maybe my crystal ball.
What do you say? We purposely going to schedule that one
you
on
know
the day?
You're going to purposely schedule that.
Nah, we wouldn't do that. Now, here's the thing, though. I honestly have I've probably, like, with when Denny came on, and maybe Jimmy and Roland, I was slightly intimidated, but I think I would be the most quiet I've ever been on Ike Live show if he came, especially if he was in studio. I think I would just be like, it would be like dead air.
That's not possible.
I don't know.
I've never seen.
Well, let me tell you this.
Make a lot of noise.
It'd probably be like the first time Danielson saw Miyagi trimming the tree. You know? Mesmerized by it, dude. He wasn't saying nothing. He wasn't complaining about getting beat up.
Well, I can tell you this. I don't know if I ever admitted this before. I'm going to admit it now since talking about him.
Admit it.
When I was fishing the elites, you know, and whenever I would happen to be in bag line, like right in front of them or especially like just right behind them, dude, I was always still kind of like giddy, you know, like, that's Klun. Oh, my God. He's right there.
Dude, I was freaking out.
You know what I mean?
I was
you
freaking out.
You had to be freaking out.
Dude, I was out of my mind, man.
Wow.
Like every bad cashier, like he thinks I blow.
Dude, he would come up, he would just like turn around and make like a 3-sentence comment, and he'd be like, "Yeah, you should be throwing a buzzbait right now." I was like,
"And that was just him giving you subterfuge.
A rush for a buzzbait."
That was just him subterfuging you. So when he doubles back, you know what I mean?
It doesn't matter, dude.
Yeah, he was.
McGraw, did you catch any big fish behind him that he could have used or anything like that? Did that happen?
Nah, man, I got a great story, though. I caught one good fish at Hickory, right, and I had a small limit on the Potomac, right, but there was a guy in an aluminum boat. Him and his buddy comes over with, like, a cutoff tee, you know, and he just, you know, redneck
just
in the middle.
Fun.
Yeah, out yeah. having fun.
Yeah.
He was sitting there watching Klun all the way around. He comes over with, like, a 7-pounder, dude. It was, like, it was huge. It was, like, a 6-pounder. He's like, "Dude, thanks for showing me how to catch him." Right? And I was like, "Oh." And I looked at Rick, and he didn't even turn around. He didn't say a word to the guy. Didn't even acknowledge him.
Oh,
and he was just like,
"Man."
And I was like, "Whoa." And the worst part about it is like he broke one off that day. And he's like, "I never break one off." And then he lost by like less than like five or 6 ounces.
I remember that one was super close.
Yeah.
That's
neat.
Yeah. He's won a lot, though. He's won more, Pete, correct me if I'm wrong, more than a lot of guys ever in the history of bass fishing. So,
yeah, he's
had a great career.
Two or three. He's definitely up there. He's going to turn 76 this year during the season.
Wow. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Let me go through an amazing list of sponsors of the show real quick. And this show for sure couldn't happen without them. AFCO, brand new sponsor here in 2022. I'm wearing AFCO right now. I'm wearing some of the Ike gear. Head over to AFCO.com and check it out. Man, we got some great stuff over there. Also, Pete, Bass University, supporter of the show. Pete, I know you got some good stuff floating around right now. What do you got with BU?
Well, we got our Bass University. We're going virtual, and we're going to be virtual all next weekend, guys. So come join us. Go over to BassUniversity.com and get yourself a couple of tickets. They're $24.99 for subscribers. They're $49.99 if you're not a subscriber. So get subscribed. Go over to bassu.tv, get subscribed, and come join us. We've got a great bunch of classes. We have JT coming, Wes Logan, Brian Thrift, John Murray, Matt Heron. They're all going to be with us in Alabama. And that's going to be on January 15th. And January 16th, and then the next weekend we are going to be we have classes on the 22nd, 23rd. Of course, we're going to be all virtual, so it don't matter where they are, it doesn't matter where you are. You're going to have a front row seat. And and the following weekend we've got Patrick Walters is going to be with us. Yeah, we love Patrick. He's such a great teacher on the cutting edge, especially with sonar. John Cruz, our old friend, is going to be there. Our own GDP is going to be doing his first seminar for Bass University on the 22nd. And I see Matt Airy on the list, too, who are going to be with us tonight. And Brandon Cobb is also going to be with us. So that's all going to be on the 23rd. So come and check it out. Get your tickets over at thebassuniversity.com. And get yourself subscribed over bassu.tv. If you can't make any of these Zoom seminars, all this content is available to make you a better angler at bassu.tv right now, 60 days free. So go check it out.
I like it.
Signed up.
And it's a good time to learn right now, man. Things are frozen. There's snow out. It's too cold to fish, right? It's a good time to learn. This is brought to you by Mystery Tackle Box, John McGraw. I know you know that, but they are the presenting sponsor of the show. We will be doing an unboxing a little later in the third segment. It's going to be really good.
That's awesome.
But listen to me. You've heard it before. It's like Christmas to your doorstep once a month. If you want to get Mystery Tackle Box tonight, go over there. When the show's over, go over to MysteryTackleBox.com. Use the promo code IkeLive, and you get 30% off your first Elite Box or 50% off your first Pro Box. Dude, that's half off, Dave.
That's
crazy.
That's deep.
Super deep discounts.
Yeah, right.
Also brought to you by Tin Cup Whiskey. You might have noticed already. We've already broken into the Tin Cup tonight.
Yeah.
Man, the Tin Cup's so good. It's smooth, American-style whiskey. But listen to me. Here's the big news. Tin Cup is going to be at the Bassmaster Classic this year. So we're keeping our fingers crossed with COVID. Everything hangs tight. But if you're at the Classic, swing by the Tin Cup booth. They're going to be doing casting games, samples, giveaways. What else, Bri? Tin cup girls.
Girls.
Pasties. All kinds of cool things going on over at the Bassmaster Classic.
Speaking of girls, shout out to Beck for getting us live on YouTube. We weren't live on YouTube. Now we are.
We are live on YouTube. Okay, there you go.
Good work, Beck.
I almost wish I was going to the classic just to hang out with the tin cup guys.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah.
No other reason except
you already decided you're not going?
I'm working.
I didn't check the dates, but
work.
All right. And last but not least, and I saved this for the end because I want to do this live.
Do live, Mike.
Yeah.
Ike Live's brought to you by Founders. They've been a great supporter of the show almost from day one, and they have great beer. Brian the Carpenter.
Yes.
What do I have in my hand here? This is something special. I've never seen a yellow can.
It's the all-day Haas.
All-day Haas.
Haze.
Haze.
Nailed it.
H-A-Z. This is brand new from Founders. Yeah. Also, want to make an announcement here. Next week, we have another new one dropping, which is, how do you say that, Bri?
Fruit.
Fruitwood.
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 Brud Fruitwood, which has maple syrup.
Weren't you
it.
Like Magnum Cum Laude of fucking college? And you pronounce
it. That right? was all sham. I'm not smart. All right, here it goes. First time ever.
Hear that?
Is that good?
Wow.
I told you it's good.
Dude, definitely. Definitely, yeah. Definitely. You can taste that haze in it.
Yeah, the Haas.
The Haas, yeah. Wow. I'm already giving this 5 stars out of 5. Brand new all day haze beer from Founders. It's great. Man, that's good.
Dude, that's awesome.
Wow.
Did you record that there, Brian? Did you record that?
That's good.
Corn liquor? I said, did you record that?
Corn
that was actually.
Liquor? All right.
Yeah, we're on YouTube, John.
I know, we're on YouTube. We're everywhere.
I have no idea.
All right, before we get this the real show started, we want to thank our men and women in the military, active and veterans. Thank you guys for what you do. It's a crazy world. Also want to thank our policemen or firemen or EMT. Thank you guys. Doctors, thank you guys. It's a crazy world. We got Pete. I want to tell you, and not right now, but in a little bit, we got a new segment for the Ike Live Show, and we have a special correspondent that's going to be checking in with us each week. So, Power Bay Paul is going to be checking in
each
with
week
us.
On a monthly show.
Each week on a monthly show, he's going to be checking in with us, and we're going to be asking Paul each week to give us an update.
Once a month.
Once a month.
Each week.
Each week. We have no idea what that means.
I mean, by the time he gets on next time, there'll be 6 more variants of this of the COVID.
And the fish will be spawning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It'll be Delta Lamb Pie next.
It'll be Lambda.
In the middle of an ice storm on Erie.
The Omega Moose. The Omega Moose coming up.
There's going to be a lot of stuff. Let me also remind you, if you're watching over on Facebook tonight, we do have a Facebook like and share contest. And all you have to do right now, if you're watching on Facebook tonight, all you have to do is like and share the feed. If you do that, you're entering in a chance to win the Ike Live gift bag. This is a famous gift bag packed with Ike Live sponsors. Probably weighs about 20s,
yeah.
Something like that. Well,
there'll be 12 empty smashed cans of Founders.
Right. You mentioned Facebook, haze. Mike. You know, at some point, we would be able to go on to with VR and actually do an Ike Live on VR through avatars. People are doing stand-up comedy through that right now.
Wow. Really?
We could do an Ike Live through VR and people with VR would be able to come in and be in the room like with us while we're doing
it. Is that technology awkward? I think technology in general is awkward though.
That's not. I mean, my son has it. I when he's not home, I mess with it all the time.
Do you wake up like hours later
I wake up early just to get on it.
Really?
But you won't go fishing. You won't wake up early, late. You won't even if you're not awake all day.
I would do that.
What, fish?
Yeah.
When?
Sometimes.
His avatar is going to be in the boat.
What Dave's trying to tell you here is fake fishing is way better than real fishing.
Because if you ain't catching them, I can switch right over to a rifle in my hand, and I can provide cover when the bird's coming in to extract us. All right?
You have like a stormtrooper suit.
Oh, my God, come on, guys. Let's go. You know, like.
I don't know. Do you see the day coming? This is a question for Pete. Pete, do you see the day coming when this technology, you know, you're talking about VR, you're talking about this stuff, where this technology comes over to the bass boat world? Do you see that day when you put on a set of goggles and instead of having to look down at the screen, all that information is right there, right in?
Oh wow!
Is that? Do you see that day coming, Pete?
Yeah, I. Well, you know what? I was thinking that you know, we would be able to use it to teach in a way that we've never been able to teach before, and you know, bring people into a virtual environment and
pretty cool.
You know, real like a great one where you're snapping your bait out of the grass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To be able to demonstrate that and show the reaction of the lure and allow, you know, allow those students to see what's taking place. I think, I think that's something that that's going to be big time, you know, for you know, moving us to the next level when it comes to teaching.
It's coming.
Yeah, they got that already, just so you know.
They do?
Yeah, I already got one.
What do you mean?
I got an underwater drone with a VR camera. So you can drive it around and follow fish baits.
Whoa. That's crazy. Now, I wonder if that will be specifically outlawed. Because when the drones came out, guys were starting to use them instantly.
For beds?
For bed fishing.
Yeah.
And, like, I think, like, a tournament later, they were banned. I think Polinic was an early adapter of that and used it in the tournament to look. And then the very next event, I remember Bass, you know, announcing that. They had to put the kibosh on that.
I wouldn't be surprised if they use like cameras and stuff like that to put on your glasses to troubleshoot, like if you have a breakdown for like, you know, your motor and you're out in the middle of a lake.
And you got somebody from India that's talking to you through your glasses.
Yeah. You could have that, right? Great. Or you have one of the guys actually through there, right? Yeah. Like as a, you know, one of the guys in Yamaha.
Yeah,
one of the guys in the Yamaha crew, right? Are sitting there with a video camera in the feed and they're looking at, oh yeah, now do this to your left. And you might be able to actually fix your engine. You know what I mean? If you're out in the middle and you can't get any,
I do think though, this whole argument is the argument when we had Randy Blockett on 3 or 4 months ago, you know, very anti, you know, he had an argument for anti technology, you know, get back to just fishing. You know, I agree. I mean, I agree with that a little bit.
There's no money in that though. Nobody can sell you.
That's
nothing.
True. That's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, imagine Pete's like VR, like bifocal VR, like that. But he can see over and still see you with his real eyes. Like, all right. You know,
like. The eyes are like, he's just.
Yeah.
Pete's avatar is the Wawa Hoagie lady.
Wilford Brimley?
He won't even have one. It'll be like the generic symbol of the things. He'll never know how to make an avatar.
It is no
Pete's
avatar.
Voice, but like the metaverse symbol. But dude, there's nothing more angering than when you talk to that person from India and you're trying to settle something and you know they don't know what you're talking about because they'll say, okay, thank you for that information, Mr. Rick. And I'm like, you don't even know what I just said. We're going to go through all of this again, dude.
No, wait, hold on. You just brought something up, and I got to out you now that we're live here.
Hit it.
I have to out Brian DeCarpenter.
Me?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Brian DeCarpenter comes here the other day. I got to out you on this, man. It's your own fault.
You were out me.
No, I got to out you on this one. You can out me on something else. So Brian DeCarpenter's here the other day, and we're getting some audio stuff fixed, blah, 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 blah. And he's here, and his phone, dude, his phone is ringing nonstop. And I've got to admit, Brian's busy with work right now. A lot of it's work-related, but a lot of it are these calls, and he's getting so mad at these calls. He's borderline wants to throw the phone down on these calls.
If it rings one more
time.
And
I'm like, it's your own fault, because, like, I don't spend that much time with Brian in the car driving, but, like, out of the last five or six times I've been in the car with him, he answers the calls. You answered
a couple times.
So that's what's happening. Once you answer it, it's like.
Did you see what the calls come through now? They come through as a person's name.
Right.
Oh, really?
Because on the list of dumb guys that answer the phone and talk.
That's what we're doing? Yeah. Okay. All right. I got you. Speaking of dumb folks, stick around for segment 3. You're going to see the stupidest thing a professional fast anchor has ever done.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd agree. That's true.
Brian's phone.
Yeah. You're right. That's going to be way more dumb.
Brian's phone with the vibrating when you're around him. It's almost like he's in Afghanistan, like special ed teacher for bomb making. And like they're all like calling the teacher to figure out.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Well, Pete, we took some heat off you for a minute.
Yeah, we did.
I was starting to feel bad. Pete's like, you know, sitting in 20 miles away, and everybody's hammering.
But but once again, let me throw technology under the bus again.
Oh, okay,
dude. We all remember the day when there was no cell phones. There was none of this crap.
Best days of our lives.
Yeah, you could go fishing and have an 8 or 10 hour day with no interruptions, dude. Just you and the fish and just having chat.
One of Brian's most prolific things he's ever said. Uh-oh. We were young and we were sitting at a red light on our way home from fishing before cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, man, dude, he's like, the freedom of just. It's 6 o'clock. No one wants to know where we're at.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to go out tonight.
Oh, yeah.
That's all gone, man. Yeah. Like, it's gone. You know, like, them phones would have run.
Right. We were in between mom and wife.
Yeah.
The glory years.
The glory days.
But I messed it up, but I know where. I even know the intersection we were at, dude, when he said it.
And even earlier than that, and Pete, I know you can relate to this too. Like the days when we didn't even drive yet and we were getting rides to lakes. Like, I remember. Oh, yeah. Wade in the Banks at Almanesson with McGraw early on.
That's where he got hooked. Man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. And they were just that's what it was all about, those early days, you know.
Yeah, those are good days.
Very fond of my memory. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially. Uncle Don in the van. Remember, he used to put the freaking Crow Dad in back.
Oh, yeah.
And drop us off at, like, Wilson's.
Wilson's. Yeah, man. All the classics.
Yeah.
Dave,
nice.
whose rod did your mom break into? Snap? Oh, Tom's.
Tom's. Yeah. A Berkeley Phaser.
Yeah. Phaser. Graphite Phaser?
I don't know. But
I remember breaking Rick King's dad's rod.
It was decapitated.
I remember that. At Stella's.
It was cold.
It was cold.
I remember that.
Yeah. Would you set a hook or just stepped on it?
I don't remember.
I was a cast or a hook set.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But anyhow,
rods were tricky back then.
All our best spots back then had one thing in common.
Yeah.
Private.
Oh, yeah. No trespass. If it had a no trespassing sign,
that's
where
we wanted to be.
So it was good.
For you young guys listening, imagine a day where you could trespass. There were no game cameras. No one had a Ring doorbell to catch you.
Yeah.
No one had phones to call the neighbor to say someone was on your property.
Yeah. I mean,
it still was. I mean,
it's harder to trespass.
You could get beat up back then. You can't get beat up now. Right. You know, I mean, we did stuff and we got beat up by adults for doing stupid stuff. You can't get away with that.
Remember when that Puerto Rican smashed me, man? When we threw snowballs at his car.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you could get beat up.
I got wrecked. Mike, you weren't there. We were at Triton. At the end of Pine, where there used to be woods there, now there's a couple of McMansions, and that's where we were throwing snowballs. We had just played snow football, so we were all soaked. But I had these giant boots.
Yeah, you were slow.
This dude was coming in like a maroon LTD with the windows down, and someone threw a rocket and busted him right in the face.
Oh,
he locks up the brakes, slide sideways, gets out, and hits on. Everyone books, and I'm trying to run. Now I'm like, I'm the last one.
Oh,
dude, he tackled me, smashed my face in the snow, and gave me about 15 to the body.
Oh, man.
Got up, got back to his car. I look up, all these guys are like, looking at me from behind cars.
They're peeping behind.
And they're like slowly walking up to me. I'm like, get off me, man. I couldn't even scream for help because he pushed my face
bruised ribs.
Snow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I got lit up, dude.
Oh, man. Good old days. let me remind you also, if you're watching tonight, we do want to hear from you. In fact, Brian, in the third segment, listen to this. We are going to be patching you through. If you're watching right now and you want to be on the show, we're going to be patching you through in the third segment via Zoom. Is that correct, Brian Carpenter?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And if you're good and we like you, you're going to win a prize. If you come on and you suck, you don't get anything. We're going to kick you right off. But if you're good and you have some some educated stuff to say, we're going to give you a prize.
Can it be people we don't know, too? Like, none, none of, like...
I'm putting
the link up, man. Whoever wants to jump on.
All right, and that's going to be in the third segment.
Yeah, we'll have fun with it.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Don't be afraid.
I'm not afraid.
Not you.
Yeah. All right, so, John, I got to ask you. Your birthday is interesting date. What's your birthday? Tell everybody.
December 31st.
December 31st. So you're telling me your birthday is...
on New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Okay, so what did you do this year on New Year's
Eve? I did nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. Right? So it's funny, man. So when when you're out with all your your friends, your boys or whatever, right? You always figure out something to do. You go out, you have a good time and whatever else. But you start getting a little bit older, right? And you start looking at it in perspective.
Yeah.
And the perspective is like, everybody celebrates the end of your birthday. Your birthday's over. And they're all kissing. They're cheering. Right? And I was like, yeah. And then this year, I actually hit it a little bit harder because it was 50. And I'm like, God.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Right? That's hard, man. Yeah. So, yeah. So, like Pete said, man, I'm going to start running.
All right.
I'm going to keep moving. Keep working moving. Out.
Working out.
Yeah. Keep the body. I got to get the body back.
Good for you.
I like it. Dave, did you do anything special on New Year's this year?
Yeah, some one of David's friends had people over the house in town. We went over there and
okay.
I suffered till about 1 a.m.
Okay. So you were actually social on New Year's.
Yeah, I was somewhere. Okay. Yeah. Cool. No, it was cool. They have a great house, great food. And
yeah.
What'd you do?
I did. So we went to the Poconos.
Oh, okay.
We took the kids skiing on New Year's Eve, Friday, right? Was it Friday?
Yeah.
Took the kids skiing, which was great. And our plan was to have like a just a celebration in this house. We went in a cabin. It was super awesome. The neighbors, this is in the Poconos. You got to imagine it's in a valley in this little creek. So the neighbors, like, I don't know, two or three houses down, must have had the gang load of fireworks. So they started shooting them off like about, I don't know, let's say about like 8 p.m., 8, 9 p.m. Well, dude, we brought Quincy with us. We brought the dogs. Oh. It was a dog-friendly house. Dude. I felt so bad because he was shivering.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, lightning's cool, but gunshots and fireworks, no go, dude.
Yeah, my dogs are the same way.
So me and Becky and I literally spent New Year's, like, trying to calm this dog down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. But what we did, though, so then the next day I woke up, I went trout fishing on New Year's Day,
cool.
Which was great.
Catch
which em. Was awesome. But we celebrated New Year's Eve on New Year's Day. So we did it again. The next day, there were no neighbors. They had left. There were no fireworks.
Yeah.
And we just got dressed and celebrated like
a
day later.
Excuse my language.
It was good. Yeah, yeah. It was nice. Banging on pots and pans and, they're normal.
I don't want a black pill New Year's Eve, but, I don't get it. Like, to me, it's like a winter league fishing tournament, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, why are we like, never had fun on New Year's Eve unless I was at a house. Like, your house parties were fun back when you used to do them. But, like, going to a bar and stuff, that never was fun.
Yeah.
It just seemed like, I don't know. I'm sorry, people.
Pete, is New Year's Eve less important now since COVID?
Man, it's trickier now. I know for us, like, it's crazy. Like, the whole neighborhood around here, which we usually would get together and do something, but everybody was quarantining. Like, this house had COVID. The neighbors across the street were all covered up with it. Jake was sick, and it's changed a little bit. Obviously, it's changed a lot for everybody, but it's going to get back.
Yeah.
We had a blast, though. I mean, we went out, and Jake and I went out and just took a walk around at midnight, and some of our neighbors were shooting off fireworks, and we got to watch that. And it was just fun, but it was really, really low key here. I'm enjoying it. Jake was sick through most of it, and he's feeling better. Of course, he gave it to me, so now I'm going to give it to Shelly, and we're just going to keep passing it around.
Pass it back and forth, yeah.
Yoshi.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep.
Now,
but it was fun.
I want to know.
Nice time.
I want to know. Question to our Jake here.
Okay.
Was this your first New Year's in your new house, or is this your second?
It was our first New Year's in the house.
Yeah. How'd that go? Did you guys, like, party like rock stars or just chill out, or what you guys do?
No, we still went to my friend's house.
Okay.
A couple people got together, drank a lot of beer and whiskey.
Nice.
Barely made it till midnight.
Yeah. Brian Carpenter, New Year's Eve?
Sleep by 10. Maybe sooner.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, pretty proud of it. Heather gave herself a concussion. She suicided her head into something at work, so she's been about almost three weeks now.
Wow.
Yeah,
she's still feeling crappy?
Yeah, she's...
Whoa. She must have hit it hard.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there was no fun to be had. There was probably going to be no fun, but there was definitely no fun.
that was the exclamation point.
Took all the guesswork out.
Yeah.
Right. Hello, Fifi.
Good
Hello,
to see
you,
my friend.
Where you been?
I'll be out in the garage sharpening hooks.
Sharpening hooks. In a second, when you're ready, we're going to get Paul on here in a second.
Yes.
We're going to get very excited. Let me – I know I mentioned it earlier, Pete, but I want to give everybody just a little insight. We've got Powerbait Paul coming on. And if you don't know, Paul is what I would call a local internet sensation. I would go that far. And so I knew about Paul, but it was interesting because the first time I met Paul, I was out throwing a swim bait on a local lake. I won't even say the name of the lake, John, live.
You definitely won't say the name.
I don't want to blow.
John will be seeing us for the first time, so.
Yeah.
You can.
I still don't want to say the name of the lake.
Don't say the name.
And we're out there throwing a trout swim bait, you know, throwing it. And this is exactly how it happened. I'm not kidding you. We're throwing around all day, and we start to get back up toward the dam, and I'm throwing this thing. And just, dude, you know, when you throw it, it's like, just, you know, it's like explosion when it hits the water. And this, I see this dude on the bank, and I'm like, man, that looks like that. I'm like, I swear that looks like that dude, Powerbait Paul, from Instagram. And that's what I was thinking in my mind. And as I got closer, I saw his hat, and he wears an Ike hat a lot, and it's the navy blue one. And I saw the hat, and I'm like, I bet you that is Paul. And just about then, you know, he kind of says, "Yo, Ike," and I was like, "Hey, yo," man. And we started talking, and he's like, "Hey, do you mind if I come over and get a picture?" I'm like, "Nah, come on over, right?" So he's on the dam, and he's walking around to get to this dock. And as he's walking, I'm not kidding you, I lob one more cast just for the hell of it. I'm like, let me make one more cast, and I'll meet Paul over there in the dock. I make this cast, and I don't know, I got about 5-6 turns on it, and dude, it's like I hit a brick wall. I'm not kidding you. I've been throwing it all day. I didn't feel anything like there's no cover down there or anything, right? And it's just like, it just stopped. And I'm like,
that's awesome.
Huh. I leaned into it, and I was nervous and panicking, and Brian's fumbling with the net as usual. And
Brian was in the boat?
Brian was in the boat with me. And we net this thing, and it was amazing because it was this – you know, it's hard to catch them big ones in South Jersey, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So this all happened, and Paul's standing there on the dock, and it was cool because I like, literally unhooked it and, like, went up to the dock and jumped out on the dock with Paul and took a picture of the fish. So that's – that was our official introduction,
awesome.
which was great. But I'm excited if you're watching and listening tonight, you don't know Paul, I want you to go over to his Instagram, which is powerbait_Paul. Check him out over on Instagram. But Paul agreed to be our new official Ike Live correspondent in 2022. I'm so excited. Yes. All right, let's bring Paul on right now. Paul! Where is he, Brian? Where is he? There he goes. Powerbait Paul, everybody. Yes. How you doing tonight, man?
So stoked to be here. First off, I just want to say thank you so much, Mike, for this opportunity. Like, this is incredible, you know. This is cool.
Well, so. it's my pleasure. And I want to tell you this, Paul. You do, to me, you represent not just South Jersey, but you represent hardcore fishermen all over the world. You really do, because – I see you out there grinding on days where it's nasty weather, weather, everything in between. I love that about you. And I also love the fact that you don't have a $100,000 bass boat. You just you fish off the bank. You do whatever you can do just to go fishing. And I appreciate that. I love that.
Yeah, I'm the official South Jersey pond hopper around here.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I like that. All right, Paul. Before we get into – and we're going to be doing this – I did a Freudian slip earlier, and I said every week. I meant you're going to be every month. But give us – people watching tonight that don't know you, give us a little background. How'd you get started fishing? Give us all that right. stuff real quick.
So my dad, he's the one that really got me into fishing, and I started around 12 years old. And I'm only going to drop the name of one fishing spot because it's a big spot, you know.
Yeah,
he used to work at Progresso, and so you got South Vineland Park right across the street from there.
Heck yeah.
So after he gets done work, you know, me and him would go over there, hit that little pond, and we'd just be catching, you know, tons of bass. I got my first bass there ever on a Zoom lizard, soft plastic Zoom lizard.
Heck yeah.
And ever since then I've been hooked, you know. It's fishing, it's like, to me, reeling in a fish is like opening a Christmas present. You don't know what it is until you get your hands on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the bigger the feels, the bigger the box is. It's so exciting, you know?
Yeah.
The unpredictability and the mystery of it all, you know?
Yeah. All right. Now, Paul, I know this is going to come through the message board, so I might as well go ahead and ask it. How did you get the nickname Powerbait Paul? Give that story to us. Where'd that come from?
So my go-to bait – of all time, if I could only use one bait, 7-inch red shad Berkeley power worm.
Heck yeah!
That's a good
Heck
one.
Heck yeah! Hold on. A round of applause for that one, everybody.
That's a really good one.
I'll give a solo applause for that.
Oh, Dave's giving it a solo. Yeah, now, that means that's special.
That's solid.
Right, well, blue flat.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Blue flat.
Well, that's
Berkeley,
a good
Berkeley power worm, all time favorite.
Wow!
Got my first ever.
Hi, Becky.
Last summer in July, I got my first ever 6-pounder on a Berkeley power worm from the bank.
That is
love that bait.
Wow! That's unbelievable.
I actually got a bag right here with me, you know, of my collection of baits I want to go over that I did the best with in 2021, and Berkeley power worm's right at the top.
Heck yeah. Okay, so Dave, for this week, and this is the great thing, I want everybody listening and watching to know that every week we're going to be asking Paul to give us an update, to give us just an update on what's going on. So you're going to hear different stuff. You might hear the next show, you might hear how the fishing report is next week after that. You might let Paul might fill us in on a new metal song. Who knows?
It's going right, to
be,
every
gonna be
week,
a grab bag.
Month.
Yeah, it's going to be a grab bag stuff. But
which lime hides the scent better?
Right. Yeah. I mean, who knows? This is a potpourri of things. But Paul, this week, I want you to give it to us. Give us your top 3 or 5 baits of 2021. You're as hardcore as they come. How many days a week do you fish, by the way? You fish, what would you call it, 3, 5?
It depends on the season. During the winter time, I'll go maybe once a week, or of course weekends, because I'm off on all weekends, so of course I get out there on the weekends. But not counting weekends, you know, that's a given. During the winter, I want to say maybe once or twice. During the fall and spring, I want to say like 4 days a week minimum.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And then during the summertime, we'll see during the summertime when it gets really hot, like in July, I'll go out. I get done work at midnight, so I'll go out after night and start throwing top water.
Heck
and
yeah.
that was my ticket this summer. This summer it got really tough in July. I caught hardly almost anything but like small bass, like 1 pound and smaller. So starting in August, me and my buddy from work, we would go out after night or after work at nighttime, throwing top water, catching largemouth bass. My biggest one was about a 4.5-pounder on a top water.
Heck yeah.
And a little bit of schoolie stripers mixed in with that too, because on one side of the road is a freshwater pond. On the other side is brackish with stripers. So it was a good deal.
I like that.
Paul, you got to pick it up a little bit. A buddy of ours, Wawa Hoagie Lady, a.k.a. John Valdez, he fishes 4 days a week during the work week.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
So yeah, he's going to pick it up. Yeah. Shun responsibilities. You know, it's all about catching that fish.
Screw your boss over. Shun responsibilities. You know how it is. You know.
You just got to find a way, man.
Yeah. Where there's a will, there's a way. All right, Paul, give it to us from – do it in reverse order. Let's do the number one bait for you last. So let's start at 3 or 5 and work the other way.
Dude, what's the deal with 4?
Well, I got the collection right here. I showed it on Instagram. I want to say the bait I did the least good with. Now, I know you love Rapala, Mike. Are you always showing off, you know, the shad rats, the DTs and all that? But the one bait, this is my favorite Rapala, and this is a bait I never see anybody ever talk about, but I love this thing. The Rapala BXW Waking Minnow.
Yeah, BX Waking Minnow. Yes.
Yep, it's a wake bait. You can see this thing's got some battle scars.
Oh, yeah.
Love this thing. You know what I mean? It's big, and yet it's not too big. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've seen
I fished from the bank. I seen a 2-pound bass literally has eyes glued to this thing. I was reeling it all the way to the bank, and normally the bass would see me and take off. But no, it had his eyes was glued to this thing. It wasn't looking at me. And it just went, and I just hooked him and flipped him. It was crazy.
Wow.
That was my first fish on this thing.
You had that fish possessed. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He was possessed.
I love this.
But that's your least favorite, though?
Out of the top.
I'm going by how my most productive baits, like most.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
That's a good one. All right. What do you got
next,
Paul?
After that, these, believe it or not, I get a lot of bass on a small stream in these little cream grubs, 2-inch grubs.
Old school grub. Look at that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Blue one for clear water. Nice little chartreuse one for the muddy water, dirtier water.
Heck yeah.
Yep, all kinds of stuff. I can call it fall fish, crappie, catfish, all kinds of stuff. Grab these.
I can tell and you then, this. From back in the day, we used to fish a lot of grubs early in our career, you know, in our fishing. Yeah. And they do catch anything that swims. I'd agree with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mike, you said early in our career. Like
early
any
in
of
our
us
careers.
Here have a career. Other
yeah. How about this? How about you just go singular? Earlier in my career. Yeah.
Early in my career. Yeah.
Yeah. While you guys were standing in my shadow.
We were like his sparring partners.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, right. When I knocked you out at 50%.
Right. You turned my minimum wage into $350 instead of $6 because we're giving you all our money.
All right, Pop, keep going. Right.
So my next bait I really love is the red-eye shad chartreuse spinnerbait from Strike King.
Spinnerbait. Good old spinnerbait. Yeah, safety pin stuff.
I love Strike King. They're one of my favorite brands in the spinnerbait. I like to tip it with a 3.8-inch electric shad chartreuse Kytec. You know, swing
heck
impact
yeah.
Kytec.
Heck yeah.
There's another one, good one I did good on, especially in the spring, you know, when bass are starting to become active again.
Yeah.
Starting to chase and feed up for the spawn.
Yep.
This was good search.
Look at the size. Hold that up one more time, Paul. Look at this. Look at the profile on that. Pete Klusik, you want to chime in on this? Look at the sheer length and profile of that spinnerbait.
That's a giant bait to
that's
be
what
kicking
I'm,
around on these small waters.
That's today. What I'm saying. Like to me, I'm just honestly, I'm giving you an honest analogy. I would just have a trailer hook behind the skirt, but all of a sudden there is this big giant swim bait. Well, I like that.
I mean, Mike, you know, big baits equal big fish.
That's
you know,
true.
I mean, one of my best buddies throws big glide baits, and that's all he ever does. You know, but he catches monsters. So I figure this swim bait is going to be at a more action and attract the bigger fish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I want to go for.
Hold on a second.
It'll give you more buoyancy, especially from the bank. You know, you can fish that at a reasonable speed, shallower.
Hey Pete. Hey Pete, real quick, can you take both of your hands and put them up left and right of your face, right about nose level? Just make fists and hold them right there, right about nose level.
What's
yeah. You look like, you remember Kilroy? Remember Kilroy was here?
Yeah. Yeah, we have some font issues here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's the computers. Anyhow, thanks. Thank you, Pete.
All right.
That meant a lot to me.
Glad it could help.
Continue, Paul.
All right, let's see. The next one.
Sorry.
I'm sure a lot of youngsters, they love Guggen, and I love it because it produces so good for me. You know, Bandito Bug.
Ooh.
One of my favorite plastics. Okeechobee Craw, favorite color. What I do is, a lot of people Texas rig them, but honestly, I just like just the 1/8-ounce jig head by Kytec. Just run it through, exposed hook, you know.
Yeah.
This also does good in muddy water. I got a 5-pounder and a small stream on this thing.
Oh, wow.
Trespassing?
No.
Hey, listen.
Yeah, why do you say it with such disdain?
Yeah.
You should be like, nah, dude, not this time. That should have been the answer.
That's what I said.
Oh, okay.
There you go. And then something similar.
Paul, before you get to your number one, though, tell us, because we're going to do a drum roll sound effect before you get to your number one.
Jake, you're up.
Well, I have, like, three more baits to go.
Okay.
Which is like, dang. So like, tied for first? I felt like we already did a bunch.
Not really a top five. I was a bunch. And then the black and blue jig with the
classic
Bandito.
That's a classic. Yeah. That's a classic.
Blue jig. Can't go wrong with that.
No, never.
And then this bait here, this is what I got my BB on in Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes.
6.5-pounder. It's not my favorite. I want to say it's probably my second favorite. The green jig with a Guggen Kraken Crawl trailer.
Ooh.
I trim it down so that just the pinchers are sticking out to reduce the tail biters, you know, and to get a better hook set. You know what I mean?
So, Paul, let's talk about that just real quick, how that event played out. And real quick, just, you know.
Okay.
You were there from the bank and there was an event going on?
Yeah. So a buddy of mine had hand-carved a wake bait, and he messaged me that he's going to give it to me, but he wants me to meet me at a certain pond. And where he's fishing a tournament with his buddies. So I'm like, all right, I'll head over there. You know what I mean? Casting around the bank. I meet up with him. You know, we say hi and stuff. He gives me my bait. And I'm still fishing along the bank. And fishing this certain spot, and I hooked something, and I thought it was a clump of grass. And then I see this big mouth coming right at me. I'm like, oh, my God, that's a six-pounder. As soon as I see that head, hook pops out. I was fuming. I just lost my BB. So, but you know what? Not even 5 minutes later, I try the same bait, same spot, thinking another fish will come by. That same fish comes back for it, and just a little bit farther out. And as soon as I seen that head, I was like, that's the same bass. And as soon as I grabbed them, I was like, yeah.
I bet the guys in the tournament loved it.
I messaged my buddy. I'm like, I just caught my PB, 6 pounds, 7 ounce from the bank, 42 degree water, while there was a tournament going on at the lake. And come to find out, I told my other buddy who was on the bank with me, I said, I bet you that my bass is the biggest one of the day.
Oh,
to find
God,
out,
man.
My other buddy in the tournament said their biggest fish was only 4.3.
Wow, I just got that's 6-2 good ones.
Wow, that's huge.
Right. I was just,
yeah.
That is
that was crazy.
Wow.
On this very jig right here.
Big fish.
Green jig.
Big fish.
Bitsy bug, strike king. All right, and then here's my
you got to tell me about a bitsy bug.
All right, number one bait. Drum roll, Jake, get the drum roll sound effect for us. Here it comes. Yeah. Folks at home, there it goes. All right, that was really shitty, but go ahead. What do you got? Paul, show it to us.
Boom.
Hey! No shock there. The power bait.
Right? I mean, power bait Paul. You know, my buddy Robert named me that. Because, you know, I catch so many big bass on that. He's like, started calling me Power Bait Paul, and I just went with it. So I'm like, I like it. It's got a ring to it.
I love it.
But, yeah, seven-inch Berkeley Power Worm, red shad.
There it goes.
Beat it.
There it goes.
That's a great bait.
Probably 50% of all the bass I've ever caught have been on this, whether it's a Texas rig or a shaky head.
Yeah.
But this thing right here.
That's awesome. I'm so glad you showed that. Pete, I want to bring you to the plate on this one. Is it amazing to you that the simplicity of the Texas rigged red shad worm, dude? Brian Kershaw won the classic on it. It's been around forever. People forget about it. Why is that, Pete Glusick? Why is that?
You know, there's so many cool and interesting shapes out there that people are getting drawn to and they're being marketed to that they're forgetting about that stuff. But that worm, that long slender profile. Like, we use it, like, that slender profile around here because we have a lot of eel.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big deal. But, man, it's a bait that from down in Florida to here that's going to catch them from coast to coast. Like you said, Kirchhoff won the classic on it. It's a very, very consistent bait. Not surprised it's your top bait.
It is.
Of the year.
It is. And I do want to mention this, too. The year that I won the classic – a lot of my fish that I caught, especially fish that I needed as to catch with a follow-up bait, I caught on a soft stick bait, Pete, I know, but red shad was the color
I
used. I used red shad.
I thought it was June bug. I thought it was June. Okay,
now, the speed worm was June bug.
Oh, that's what I thought we were talking about.
I also caught some weightless dum-dum thrown out there. When they'd hit it and boil on it, and
I don't know. The way you were coding that, I thought that this worm was friggin' secret, and that's what I thought we were talking about.
No, I did catch some on it. Paul, tremendous list.
Hang up on Paul. I want to ask him a few questions.
One more runner up. This was the night bait.
I knew it.
This was the nighttime bait I was telling you guys
about.
Was that Jibba? I was catching them at night after work. This River to Sea lane changer designed by Chris Lane. You know, prop bait, more subtle than a whopper plopper, but similar. Mm-hmm. This is what I was catching them on in the middle of the night.
Wow. There you go. Summer. All right, Dave, you got some questions for Paul?
I do, Paul. So, Paul, I don't know you. You don't know me, and I'm wondering.
Now, be ready.
I don't answer yet. I'm going to lay it out. I'm guessing Salem County.
He ain't going to name
maybe
lakes.
No, I'm guessing where he's from. Okay. Northern Salem County, but on the riverside. Am I wrong or right?
You're very close. Very close.
Oh. Dave, is that
What word got you? What word?
Well, his water tells me he's close enough to Paulsboro.
Water.
Yeah.
But his vowels, like his A's, are definitely not Paulsboro.
Dave, this is police work.
No,
this
it is
basically your old police
this is real
mind coming
it,
back.
It is. This is, yeah. This
profiling
is
me.
Regional.
Are you profiling Paul?
I'm a master of regional diction.
Regional diction.
I am.
I'll spill the beans as long as I don't have to spill the lakes.
I don't care about where you fish. You got the wrong guy. I know where bodies are buried. I don't care about your stupid lakes. But listen to me, Paul. I'm guessing, now if you do, I'm guessing you don't have kids, right? You probably work 3 to midnight, 4 to midnight, right?
I mean, I give away by saying I get done at midnight and now I go night fishing, but you know.
No, I get it. I'm just saying, you know, as much work as you're putting in, there's no way there's a wife that accepting to let you work that shift. She's home all day with those monsters, and then you fish till 3 in the morning and then sleep till friggin' 1. You know what I mean?
What's his middle name?
I'm living vicariously through Paul, by the way. Paul, I'm on your side. Don't get defensive. I'm going to teach you how to dance around.
I can take a joke just as much as I can give it. That's one thing you'll
well,
know
good,
about.
Well, good,
because you're ready. Perfect on the show.
Do you remember Lancelot didn't retire till he had his replacement? I'm going to teach you how to. I'm going to teach you how to dance around racially insensitive jokes and racial. You know, and then you're going to replace me here,
I'm
my friend.
Cool. Now, where I'm actually from is Cumberland County. So you were just one county off, you know.
No, I get it. I get it. Yeah, but the I know it.
It was close.
It's fun. I enjoyed that. I'm looking forward to hearing from you in 2 months.
Anthony Geis on the message board says Dave is Paul's spirit animal. he's trying to get you with the goatee.
You guys might be related.
Maybe.
Yeah, you and Paul are related, maybe.
That's some Cumberland County stuff.
That's probably the only comment from Geis you could read on the air tonight.
Probably.
Yeah.
We got red hair in my family on my mom's right. side.
There you go.
I don't think we got drunk that much down there. So it couldn't be your – I'm just saying.
Nah, who knows?
Paul, excellent first check-in with us as the official correspondent.
So Mike,
yes.
Before I go, can I just say one thing about when I first met you?
Of course.
When we got our picture taken on that dock and you're holding that 7-pounder, I know you. You make those crazy going Ike faces and stuff, and here you are with a 7-pounder. I'm getting a picture with you. I thought you were going to make that going Ike.
Yes.
And so I was going to do it with you, but no, I didn't even see you. You were just smiling like a normal person. I'm standing there with my crazy face, and you're looking normal and leaving me hanging. Oh, well.
No, that's the perfect.
At least I had the attitude.
No, Paul, listen. This is the perfect picture. In fact, I'm actually going to get this blown up. I'm going to go to, like, Walgreens or something and blow it up. And I'm going to actually put this picture. Everybody's looking at it right now on the screen. This picture is going to live forever in the Ike Life studio.
That's a good picture.
Yeah,
and, Paul,
picture.
Don't be so upset about that, because let me tell you something right now. Like, he's smiling with his mouth full of mint flavored Chiclets, and the rest of us would be smiling with our Land O'Lakes butter. You know what I mean? Be thankful here, just shouting. You know what I mean, dude? Because that shit shows up when you're next side by side.
We got Folgers written all over our fucking mug.
yeah, unfiltered cigarettes and Folgers. Fucking bicuspid.
Tobacco. Chew it, tobacco. Paul, I want to thank you for checking in with us. Cannot wait to talk to you on the next show. Thank you for the update. Looking forward to
you,
being our correspondent. Thank you, Paul. Power Bay Paul, everybody, with the check-in.
Friggin' pumpkin seed flavored lateral bicuspis.
Yes. Man, that was awesome. I love it. And, awesome. Brian, I like the fact that each week we're going to get a check-in from Paul. We're not really going to know what we're going to hear.
Each week, every
month. Each month, whatever I'm talking about.
What if you give him an assignment to test a bait?
I mean, I can text
and he reports
him each
to
week,
him.
You know?
Yeah, that would be good.
Paul, what do you think about Mike assigning you a bait to test for us and give us a sit rep on it?
That's a good one, too. I want to throw that to the mix.
Yeah.
There might be a few bait companies excluded from that. They'll remain nameless, but
No. Now my mind's actually thinking, Paul. What I'm thinking now is we'll send you baits for some. For other ones, we'll send you locations.
Yes.
We'll give you pins. Okay. We'll give you GPS coordinates for a new location
or a BASU seminar for new technique.
Yes.
I'm listening.
A place to trespass.
Yes. Private property.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't have a rap sheet. I don't really plan on getting one. But,
yeah. Hey, man.
I mean, hey, Paul. Between you and Pete, all I got to do is dye my goatee blue, and we're all about patriotic here, right?
You just put me in between you guys.
If they lock you guys up, there's something wrong.
Yeah, we'll go
you
to a Trump rally. Come on, man.
Yeah.
There you go.
Trump 2020. All right. All right, Paul. Thanks for checking in with us, man. Have a good one.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay. Man, that was awesome. That Brian, that actually, I'm so glad we got Paul as our correspondent. We talked about it for years, having someone do that, and I think we found the right person in Power Bay Paul. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
I would too.
I'm sorry. I was doing stuff.
Oh, it's
actually, right. I actually like that, man.
That was great, wasn't it?
I like that.
Yeah. That was great. And Pete, I do see Paul giving a seminar for BU one day. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, just think about it.
Dream a little, Peter.
As his accolades accumulate here in South Jersey.
I'm surprised, though, with that schedule, he doesn't fish in the morning as opposed to, like, if I woke up tomorrow on my schedule and didn't have a family,
yeah.
I would do it in the a.m.
The early.
He goes out in the dark. Man.
Yeah.
But he actually did that in July, August when it was hot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, nighttime might be better in the summer.
Because I got the same schedule he has, man. Yeah.
You ain't going fishing.
I see him.
Yeah, he is virtually.
David's sleeping. He's going home playing on the stupid video game.
If I had Paul's testosterone level, right, and his age, I probably would fish.
Yeah.
Right.
And his goatee?
That's a good goatee. I can't crack on Paul's goatee. That's legit.
All right, Brian DeCarpenter, one of the new things we're doing for Ike Live in 2022 is we're trying to stay more on time. So we're about 15 minutes over. That's okay because we had great conversation, great guests. But let's take a break. I think we should take a break.
Take a break.
All right. Listen, if you're
Why
watching.
Why are we trying to stay on time?
I don't know. Everybody was saying, you know.
Yeah, everybody
wanted
on the wrong
cleaner,
stuff.
Tighter show is what I kept hearing from people.
From who?
I don't know. People in the office and.
That don't watch the show and had never watched podcast in their life and don't fish.
Be.
Okay,
that
cool.
Could be. That could be.
Great source.
All right, but anyway, let's take a break because I got to pee anyway. So hang in there with us because Brian DeCarpenter, when we come back,
yes.
Matt Airy is coming on the show. Cannot wait to talk
to
Matt.
Yeah, these people actually laugh during the view that are telling us we're going too long.
I know.
This is what we're dealing with, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, have the next meeting on a Saturday.
Or you think it's rival podcast. Chiming in to tell us
yeah,
to change
right.
the format so we
news.
Go down in flames.
Yeah.
Yeah, could be that. All right, hang in there with us. When we come back, more Ike Live.
You know, right now where we're standing, we're in Camden, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is right there. This is the concrete jungle. And, you know, a lot of those kids, as they grow up, they don't fish. It's interesting because they're surrounded by water, you know, the Delaware River, the Schuylkill, ponds, city park lakes, but they don't have the influence to cast, to fish, to have a rod and reel, and that became our focus, you know, is to target kids in what we call non-traditional areas, you know, urban areas, city centers, where the population's high, and let these kids have an experience. You know, it's amazing. I mean, some of the experiences we've had, whether it's Central Park in New York City, here in Camden, other parts of the country, even just casting.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to see it, isn't it?
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
And you know, you see these kids have this experience they've never had, and they light up, you know? The big thing, I think, for the Ike Foundation is we're not saying we want all these kids to become professional anglers.
No.
It'd be great if some of them did. But we want them to have that fishing experience because it ties them to so many other positive things. The outdoors, nature, conservation. Ecology, you know, all these amazing things in life that maybe they wouldn't have been exposed to any other way. We're trying to help with that. So it's important. It's important for us. Yeah. We're proud of it.
At Founders Brewing, we asked ourselves, what if we brewed a beer perfect for any occasion? A beer that makes a weekday feel more like the weekend, and the weekend feel more like an adventure. What if we brewed a beer that brought us together and allowed us to be ourselves. A beer that is just as much of a companion as it is a reward at the end of the journey. What if we explored the unknown together and found a new way? What if we celebrated taste and flavor and life's simple pleasures? And what if we brewed a beer that could go where you go without slowing you down? What if? Founders All Day IPA. Low ABV and full flavor that goes where you go. Chase your what if.
4.5-inch drop shot worm. Bama bug. Finesse jig, PB&J. Give me something hard. Hey, KVD here. Now, I didn't always know this much about fishing. 4-0 EWG worm hook. In fact, there was a time when I couldn't tell the difference between a jerkbait and a stickbait. But then I signed up for Mystery Tackle Box, the original monthly tackle subscription. And now I know more about fishing than I do about Calculus.
And he knows a lot about Calculus.
Plus, I get amazing extras like free fishing magazines. October 2016, featured article, 4 places to throw a frog, exclusive decals, zombie bass, and how-to videos for all the great baits I receive. How to tune a crankbait. Is that underwater footage I smell?
I got goosebumps.
So if you're looking to develop enhanced fishing abilities like me, or you just like getting new tackle every month, go to MysteryTackleBox.com and get your box today. Ooh, live minnows. Is it lunchtime already? Nature's candy.
It's more than who you are. It's who you're with. And it's more than what you do. It's where you do it. Tin Cup Mountain Whiskey.